Yes, when I was asked which psalm I would preach on, I was a bit greedy. And I am a greedy person, and I've chosen three psalms today for us to consider together. Three psalms, so we can't go into all the precise details. That must be left for another day. But we are looking at these psalms, Psalm 22, 23, and 24. Simon came to me and he said, which psalm are you going to preach on, John? And I said, can I have three? And he said, Psalm 3? I said, no, not Psalm 3. Can I have three psalms? He looked rather straight at me, but scribbled down, yes, John will preach from three psalms. Why am I preaching from these three psalms? Well, it's because they are all linked together. And they are linked together by Jesus. Jesus, as it were, is the theme of Psalm 22, Psalm 23, and Psalm 24. And so he is the link between these three psalms. You may be thinking, well, how could Jesus be in these psalms? The psalms were written in King David's time. And in King David's time, David lived 1,000 years before Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. How could these three psalms be anything to do with Jesus? Well, that is true, but Jesus is here in the Psalms. We won't find his name, the name Jesus, in these Psalms, but we will find Jesus himself. I get a little bit worried when I have to preach in the Old Testament, the first part of the Bible, and I can't find Jesus there. But Jesus is in all parts of the Old Testament. If you look for him, he is there. He is there perhaps as the anointed, or he is there as the king, or the person who suffers greatly. And so we do find Jesus in the Psalms. I have a book at home called Christ in All the Scriptures. And that indicates to us that Jesus can be found if we look for him and search for him in the first part of the Bible, even before he was born in the manger at Bethlehem. And so this morning we're thinking about Jesus, his cross and his care and his crown. Jesus, his cross, his care and his crown. In Psalm 22, we see Jesus suffering. How does the psalm begin? Could anybody tell me the very first verse? My God, why have you abandoned me? Or as the other version says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And so we find that Jesus is there in Psalm 22. There he is, and we find him on the cross when he is suffering on the cross, saying, my God, why have you abandoned me? The suffering, of course, in Psalm 22 is first of all applied to David, the writer, King David, the writer of the psalm, but much more to Jesus on the cross. And you will find as you read through Psalm 22 at your leisure, you will find so much about Jesus and his suffering there upon the cross, even in Psalm 22. For instance, if you look at further down in the psalm, look at verses 7 and 8 in Psalm 22, there you will find that he is being mocked. Everyone who sees me mocks me. They sneer and shake their heads, saying, is this the one who relies on the Lord? Let the Lord save him. If the Lord loves him so much, let the Lord rescue him. We can see Jesus on the cross, and we can hear Jesus there upon the cross, and the crowd, the mocking crowd, say, in effect, these words. Jesus is being mocked by people who surround him on the cross. And we're able to enter into his feelings, aren't we? Perhaps more so than the gospel writers, the gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, all record the sufferings of Jesus upon the cross. But when we get to Psalm 22, we can sort of enter more into what Jesus was actually feeling deep down in his soul as we read through this psalm. We're able to enter into his feelings in verse 14, for instance. My life is poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax melting within me. My strength has dried up like a sun-baked clay. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You have laid me in the dust and left me for dead. There were deep, deep feelings, weren't they? Deep feelings which Jesus had when he was there upon the cross. And also he's being fiercely attacked by animals attacking. It was as though he felt that animals, fierce animals, were coming and attacking him there as he hung there upon the cross. Can you spot the animals in Psalm 22?
The oxen?
I haven't got that one.
Dogs.
Very good, yes.
And dogs?
Yep, fierce dogs. We all know about bully dogs, don't we? We hear a lot about them on the television programs and the incidents which take place with the bully dogs. There are some nice dogs, of course, pet dogs, but there are also very fierce dogs. And Jesus is saying it's so as though a fierce dog is attacking me from within. Any more animals in Psalm 22? Lions, yes, there they are. Yes, the lions. It's as though the fierce lions are attacking me. I was talking to somebody during this week who said that she'd cuddled a lion. And I said, well, it wasn't a fierce lion. No, she said it was a baby lion, a lion cub, which I cuddled. But lions are really fierce, aren't they? Attacking animals, destroying animals. And Jesus says, it's so I'm being attacked by fierce lions. Any more? I think we missed one, haven't we? Have we missed one? Yeah. Anybody have spotted that one?
Yes, the herd of wolves.
What verse is it?
12.
Verse 5. Wool.
Verse 12.
Bulls are attacking me. So fierce bulls are attacking me. Well, if we see a bull in a field, we usually walk the other way, don't we? And we don't go in that field. But here is Jesus suffering so greatly as though bulls from Bashan, I think they are called, and they were noted for being very fierce and angry animals. And so we have all these animals, the lions and the dogs and the bulls. And here is Jesus suffering so greatly upon the cross. And why did he do it? Well, he did it to save us. He knew that we were all in a desperate plight, and we needed Jesus to pay the penalty for our sins upon the cross. And he was willing to suffer like that to save us. But Jesus not only suffered, but he suffered so that he could become our shepherd. And so we move on with a sense of relief, as it were, from Psalm 22 to Psalm 23. And here we find that Jesus is shepherding. Not only is he suffering, in Psalm 22, but he is in Psalm 23, he is shepherding. And it's a well-known psalm, isn't it? Jesus said, "I lay down my life for the sheep," when he was talking and preaching and teaching. And immediately those who heard Jesus say, "I lay down my life for the sheep," will have begun to think about Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." So it's a great relief, as I say, to turn from Psalm 22 to Psalm 23. It's a very personal psalm, Psalm 23. Did you notice the personal pronouns in Psalm 23? The "my's" and the "I's" and the "me's" and the "you's," all personal pronouns which are being used. The writer of the psalm is saying, "He lets me rest. He leads me. He renews me. He guides me. Riches indeed for those who can say, 'The Lord is my shepherd.'" We must not just assume that Jesus is our Savior and our shepherd. We have to apply to Jesus who suffered and then enjoy the blessed assurance he gives us. What a wonderful provision he makes for us, those of us who take Jesus as our Savior and enjoy him as our shepherd. He provides for me. He gives me rest. He gives me renewal. He directs me my life into right paths as I listen to what he has to say to me and directed by his Holy Spirit. And did you also notice in Psalm 23 that there is a difference? There is a change. Verses 1 to 3 in Psalm 23, we find that the writer is talking about the shepherd. "The Lord is my shepherd," he says. "I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name." The writer of the psalm is talking about the shepherd. But from verse 4, he speaks to the shepherd. There is a change. "Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are with me. You are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings." So there's a change. First of all, talking about the shepherd, and then talking to the shepherd. We need to do both, don't we? We need, if we have Jesus as our shepherd and are experiencing all his care and control and blessing, we speak about him to others. And then we come very close to Jesus, the shepherd, and we talk to Jesus as our shepherd. So talk about Jesus, but talk to the shepherd as well. Why does that change take place? Why is there a change from talking about the shepherd, "The Lord is my shepherd," and so on, to talking to the shepherd? Well, the reason is because trouble is looming up. If you look at verse 4, you will see, "Even when I walk through the darkest valleys." And so there is the dark valley ahead of Jesus. the sheep of the Good Shepherd. And so that person and we, when we enter into dark valleys in life, we need the shepherd to be very close with us. Even when I walk through the dark valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. So that is why the change has taken place. The sheep feel their need of protection, the protection of the shepherd at a critical and difficult or perhaps dangerous time in life. We as sheep of the Good Shepherd realize our need of his presence with us. So when there are enemies, for instance. Who are the enemies? Well, the enemies for the sheep could be numerous. There are wild animals, for instance. We've seen the wild animals already on the screen, haven't we? But the bears and the wolves were around in King David's time when he did his shepherd work as a boy working for his father. There were enemies who would perhaps want to steal and rob the sheep, the shepherd of the sheep. There would be parasites too. I was reading while I was studying. A good shepherd protects his sheep from the parasites. If you take your sheep to the same place for their daily food and feed them there every day, then the place gets messed up. And very soon the sheep begin to suffer because of the parasites that are there amongst the food which is placed in the same place on too many occasions. And that is why perhaps the oil has to anoint the head of the sheep so that the protection, the sheep will be protected from the flies and the parasites and all the other enemies which would cause problem for the sheep. So the good shepherd cares for his sheep, and he will be with them all the way and protect them even in the dark valleys of life. So even in the dark valley, the darkest valley of all, what is the darkest valley of all? Well, the darkest valley of all for any human being is the valley of death. And let's face it, we all have to face that dark valley, don't we? Without exception. The valley of the shadow of death, I think one of the versions calls it in this verse. The valley of the shadow of death. But if we have Jesus as our shepherd, as our Savior and our shepherd, then we have no fear. We should not fear even the valley of death. It's only a shadow for the Christian. And we also pass through it, will you see? Even though I pass through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. The Lord will be there as my good shepherd to protect me and to bring me through the dark valley. And not only, and he is with me all the way. There is food on the table and a drink overflowing in the meantime. The shepherd's image is there, I believe, all the way through the psalm. Some commentators say that this psalm changes from the shepherd to the host who spreads the table and has his guests provided for. But my feeling is that the shepherd theme and the sheep theme comes all the way through the psalm right to its very end. We have the presence of the shepherd to protect us and walk us through all the dark valleys of life and the greatest valley of all which we have to face, the valley of the shadow of death. His goodness and his mercy follow us all the days of our life, and even to the house of the Lord, where we will be forever with him. And so we give thanks to the Lord for his suffering for us in Psalm 22, and his shepherding of us in Psalm 23. And there is just one more before we close. In Psalm 24, we see the sovereignty, or we see Jesus as the sovereign, as the king. And Jesus is the sovereign over all the earth, you will see in Psalm 24. And verse 1, the earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all its people belong to him. So there is a sense in which Jesus is the ruler of the whole earth and all people on the earth. But as we have seen from Psalm 22 and Psalm 23, there is a group of people who are able to say, the Lord is my Savior and the Lord is my shepherd. And Jesus is the one who has clean hands and a pure heart, and who ascends into the heavenly place, verses 3 and 4. Who may climb into the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? Only those whose hands and hearts are pure. When we look at ourselves, even those of us who are Christians and have been Christians many years, we still realize that our hearts are not entirely pure, and our hands are not clean. We don't always do the right thing. We don't always think the right thing. Our hearts are impure. But Jesus is the one who has clean hands and a pure heart, and he ascends into the hill of the Lord, sends into the holy place to intercede for us and to finally welcome us into heaven itself. The last verses of Psalm 24, are a picture of Jesus returning to heaven. He suffered. He gave the messages to us concerning his shepherd's care, and now he is returning to heaven as the victorious king. How wonderful it is to think that Jesus has won the victory. He has triumphed over all his enemies, and he has entered into to receive his crown of glory, and he is the king of heaven, and all heaven declares the glory of the ascended Christ, the ascended king. And this is a picture of Jesus going back to heaven, isn't it? Opening the ancient gates, open the ancient doors, and let the King of glory come in. He has suffered. He is the shepherd, but he is also the King of glory. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord invincible in battle. Open up ancient doors and let the King of glory enter. Who is this the King of glory? The Lord of heaven's armies. He is the King of glory. What amazing words they are. And full of Psalm 22 is full of comfort and instruction, but Psalm 24 is thrilling and exciting. And we see Jesus as the King of glory. Jesus is the Savior of all those who repent and believe. Jesus is the shepherd of his sheep, and Jesus is the sovereign king and ruler of all of his people. He rules by his spirit in us and by his words to us as we read the scriptures and meditate upon them. And all this is what I would call a package deal. And there are some people who say, well, I'll have Jesus as my Savior and one who has forgiven my sins. And it would be wonderful to have him as my shepherd who cares for me and comforts me and looks after me and provides for me. But Jesus as king, that's a step too far, some people say. I can't have Jesus as to rule my life and tell me what I should be doing. I want to do my own thing. I want to please myself. But no, it's a package deal. If you're going to have Jesus as your Savior and have your sins forgiven, wonderful. If you're going to have Jesus as your shepherd who cares for you and provides for you, as Psalm 23 indicates, and is with you in the dark valleys of life and in the valley of the shadow of death itself, then you've also got to have Jesus as your king, your ruler, the one who says, this is the what you should be doing. This is not the way for you to go. This is the kind of thing. You have to listen and obey the rules of the king. A few months ago, we were visiting one of our grandchildren who has three little girls now, but there was only two. The third one hadn't been born. But Lily had just started nursery. And as we sat there talking, Lily got all her soft toys, so many soft toys, I didn't know there were so many soft toys, but all these soft toys, and she'd put them all in on the sofa, all in line on the sofa. And she was saying, we heard her saying to these soft toys, these cuddly toys, now, these are the rules. She'd picked something up from nursery, hadn't she? These are the rules. You've got to keep the rules, she said. And then I noticed that she was going along looking at all these soft, cuddly toys. And she grabbed one and took him out and put him elsewhere because obviously he wasn't keeping the rules. Now, Jesus is the ruler, and we have, if we're Christians, we have to obey him, and sometimes it's hard. We want to go our own way and do our own thing, and we won't put him first. I'll be number one, thank you very much, but Jesus has to be number one. He is the suffering Savior. He is the shepherding Savior, and he is the ruling Savior of those who belong to him. So it's a package deal. We receive his forgiveness, we enjoy his care, and we accept his reign and rule in our lives. So these three Psalms are all about Jesus. Is it all about you as well? Thank you very much for your attention and your help too. Let's sing our final song, shall we?